You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Welcome back to the show. How are you doing today, Tammy?
Doing good. I think there's houses to be bought out there.
There are houses to be bought out there, but not enough of them.
Yeah, our market's a little... There's not a lot out there. So when it comes to buying a home, because 10 times out of 10, I could actually say that, you're going to fill out a loan application.
Yes.
I mean, there is an off chance that you're going to pay cash for it. So when it comes to filling out an application, what are some of the things, Doug, that underwriting, because there's a whole process to this whole getting a loan approved thing, and underwriting seems to be, I'll say, the
Pandora's box.
There you go.
The mystery. Well, it's funny because lenders have a reputation for giving you an umbrella until it starts to rain, and then they want the umbrella back. Okay, so people ask, I think there are a lot of people out there that don't truly understand how a lender makes a decision to lend money or not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what is it that lenders review when they're approving loans? And we've broken it down to the four C's of underwriting just to make it simple.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so first, I'm going to go ahead and differentiate between the way loans are underwritten nowadays.
Okay.
Quite a few years ago, I'm going to say maybe almost 20 years ago now, or probably 16, 17 years ago, they finally got computers to start doing some of the underwriting. Okay, because when a human looks at a file, they can see if it meets the guidelines. But what they can't do is layer the risk the way a computer can layer the risk.
Okay.
So now everything goes through what they call automated underwriting. Fannie Mae has DU as direct underwriter. Freddie Mac has LP as loan prospector. A USDA loan goes through GUS, okay, is the name of their system. So each of those will go through an automated underwriting process, and it will layer all the risk, and then it will spit out an answer. Okay, then a human has to actually review to make sure that those guidelines are met. So what is it that the computer's looking at, and what is it that the human are looking at? So let's go through these four C's of underwriting.
I'm sorry, I had a picture back when we were kids. Do you remember when you'd put a coin in and there was a chicken inside the box? I don't know if you ever remember that. I can't remember what restaurant that was, but the chicken, and you'd be waiting for the chicken to push the button on either side of the box. No?
Nope.
Nothing? You
don't
got remember. Nothing?
Nope.
You're a farm boy.
Was it a real chicken?
It was a real chicken. You would put money in the box, and it would decide whether it was going to peck on the left side or the right side. And if it pecked on the right side, you'd get a prize, roll out the bottom of the thing.
So is that how loan approvals go?
That's how I think underwriting works, is that depending right. on which side.
The mood of the underwriter may decide it.
So let's get serious again. So credit, I mean, we know that when we say credit, it's a credit score, right?
Well, the first C of underwriting is credit.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you're right. So credit score is the most important thing, because the credit score is there to give you a determination of the likelihood of somebody repaying the debt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the higher the credit score, the better the chance of them repaying the debt. And your credit scores, they're going to go beyond that, and they're going to look at your on-time payments, or have you, you know, just in your history, first off with your housing, did you pay your housing on time if you're looking to get a mortgage?
So mortgage payments, as long as I pay my mortgage payments on time.
Mortgage payments, but also it could be rental payments.
Oh, okay.
Important. And the rental payments won't always hit your credit, but we still want to verify them in most cases.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Because if you didn't pay your landlord, there's a good chance you're not going to pay the mortgage either. They're going to look at your credit cards and how you manage those balances. Those will all affect your credit scores. They want to see the amount of credit you have. They want to see the age and the depth of your credit. Okay? And derogatory credit. If you had bankruptcy, if you had a repossession, a collection, a judgment, foreclosure, delinquent child support, delinquent real estate taxes.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things will play into it and hit your credit score.
Okay. All right.
So that is the first C of the four C's of underwriting.
So credit.
Yes.
So if you need consultation or anything to go over your credit, how can someone reach out and get a hold of you?
Okay. So if you want to get a consultation to be able to make sure that you can qualify now or at some point in the future, okay, text me or call me at 314-472-DOUG. That's 472-DOUG. So 472-3684 are the numbers for it.
Okay.
All right. So the next C is capacity. Okay. So capacity, what that means is how much capacity do you have to borrow? They're looking at really starting with your employment. Okay. And when we look at employment, we want to know the stability of that employment. Is it seasonal or is it cyclical work? So when we're reviewing pay stubs as an example, okay, is it 40 hours a week every single week, or is it 32 hours one week, 36 the next, 30 the one after that, then 40? If that's the case, if it's a variable income like that, then we have to average it, preferably over the last 2 years.
So what about length of time? Does that, like, you know,
that definitely matters when it comes to analyzing employment. The length of time on the job or in the industry are very important, because that plays into the next thing, is the stability of the income.
Okay.
The longer you've worked somewhere, the more stable your income is. And that's why when we look at stability of income, if you make commissions, for instance, or if you make bonuses, you have to have made it for at least 2 years before we're even going to count it in lending. Okay. And we're going to average how well you did at it over the last 2 years.
Okay. All right.
If you're self-employed, we're really going to do the same thing. We're going to analyze all your self-employment income, and we're going to average that over the last 2 years. So
it's really not straightforward all the time. There's a lot of little formulas you guys take in consideration versus what I might come in and tell you.
Yes, and that's why we have to, you know, we ask for so much documentation now. It's part of what the government requires in the ability to repay rule, ATR, and it was part of the Dodd-Frank Act. And basically making lenders verify that somebody has the ability to repay a loan. And there's a bunch of responsibilities around that. So part of the other piece of the capacity issue, which is the second C, is your debt load versus your monthly income. Okay, we want to know we look at your debt to income ratio. And in the simple way we calculate this is, first we look at your housing ratio. That's what we call the front ratio, is what's going to be the new house you're buying, or if you're refinancing, what is that monthly payment divided by your income?
Okay.
And you know, typically, we want that to be, you know, 36% is kind of the maximum we want to see on a front ratio, but really it should be much, much less than that, or you're buying too big of a house in most cases.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The back ratio is going to be the new house payment plus all of your other debt divided by your gross monthly income. Okay, not your net monthly income, but your gross monthly income is how we look at it. So we are not, there's the things we're not looking at are going to be your cell phone bills, your utilities, your insurance payments. Yeah, your groceries, how much you're spending on private school. If it doesn't show up on your credit report, we're not necessarily looking at it. But you as a consumer need to look at that. It's very important.
You have to have a budget.
Yeah, you to make a decision on how big of a house to buy, you have to be able to take your entire budget into account.
Right. You don't want to be house poor, and we've said this several different times, but you really do have to be smart with your money about what it is that you can afford.
Smartwithyourmoney.com is there as the resource to help be that influence on you to be smart with your money. Okay.
That's right.
Make smart financial decisions. So the third C is cash and capital.
Okay.
So cash and capital basically refers to your assets. Okay. How much money do you have? Because if you have a lot of money in assets, the more assets you have, the more stable you are.
So it's not the couch I sit on.
Yeah, that's not what we mean.
That's not what you mean.
All the change in that couch is probably not going to be enough either.
Okay.
So if you've had a propensity to save money, okay, that looks good. Now, when we say cash and capital, there's two things about this that are important. One is, how much money do you have?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the second thing is how much money you're going to put down. The more money you put down, the better your chance of repaying the loan.
Okay.
Okay. When they used to do all the 100% lending programs, which there's only a couple of them left out there now, VA loans and USDA loans are 100% loans, meaning that you don't really have to have any down payment money for them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but there used to be a lot of programs like that out there for people who really shouldn't have had it, because one of the things I've learned when it comes to foreclosure rates is the more cash somebody puts into a transaction, the greater their chances of repaying the debt, because they're not going to walk away from that money that they have into it.
That's true. It makes it a little more real, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, if you came up a 20% down, okay, it not only shows that you are responsible, but if something happened where you lose your job and you start to fall behind, you're not going to want to lose that 20% equity. You're going to probably go borrow money if you have to make sure that you can repay the debt. Like you're going to go hit up a relative or you're going to find some way to make sure that you come up with it to repay the debt.
So really when it comes down to it, underwriters will look at the bank statements and they'll look at all of the paper trail of why you have money in your account.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So that leads us to the fourth C of what lenders review when they're approving loans, and the four C's of underwriting. Okay. We've already covered credit, capacity, cash and capital, and the fourth C is collateral.
Collateral.
Okay.
And this is regarding the home I'm buying or the home that I have?
Either one, whichever one that we're lending on.
Okay.
That's the collateral.
Okay.
If you're buying a car, the car is collateral.
Okay.
If it's credit card, there is no collateral.
Okay.
It's the uncollateralized debt.
Right.
So when we look at collateral, okay, what is it that we look at? So we want to know, like, what's the stability of this property? And that's why there are independent appraisals that are done that tell what the value of the property is. And they put a lot of safeguards in place so that there's not undue influence over these appraisers.
Right.
Because they really want to get an independent value from the appraiser. They want the appraiser to come out and say, okay, this is what this property is worth. And one of the things we're seeing is when we have a quickly appreciating market and houses are selling for new all-time highs, sometimes they can't even appraise for the purchase price.
Right. And that's how do you handle that?
Well, this is important, is you have to look at, a lender is always going to use the lower of the sales price or the appraised value.
Okay.
Okay, they're going to use the lower of that. So for easy math, let's say you're doing $100,000, it's a $100,000 purchase, okay, and you were going to put 5% down. Okay, so if it appraised for $100,000, then your loan amount would be $95,000. If it doesn't appraise for $100,000, let's say it appraises for $98,000. Well, now we're going to be taking, and you still have to put 5% down, we're going to be taking 5% less of the $98,000, so that your new loan amount is going to be based on the $98,000, but you may still have to buy it for the $100,000.
So you have to come up with that difference.
You may have to come up with a difference in cash or get the seller to come down in price.
Got it. Okay.
So very important that we want to understand that collateral really well, because if you stop making payments and the lender has to own that property, can they resell it? Is it worth what the appraiser said it is?
Mm-hmm. It's the risk, right?
Yes.
Right.
And one of the other things that we look at is going to be the stability in residence too.
Mm-hmm.
So just how long, you know, somebody that's moved around from place to place to place may show a little bit of instability of residence. And you know, that's something that that underwriters are definitely going to look at.
Right.
So if you want to see this list, okay, visit smartwithyourmoney.com and look for the four C's of underwriting and download this. If you want me to look at your situation, because what I do before it ever gets to an underwriter is I review loans and I'll give you a really good idea of where you stand and how to get yourself in a better position to be able to buy or to be able to refinance. So if you want to get a consultation for that, reach out to me at 314-472-DOUG. That's 472-DOUG. So 472-3684 are the numbers. Texting is probably best, and we can set up a time to have a conversation earlier this week. So coming up, we are going to be talking about the four consumer loans that affect how much home you can buy. You'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.